Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local evangelist at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to personally thank you for listening to our program. We encourage you to listen each Sunday morning at this time as we open up the pages of God's Word to give you a better understanding of that truth. We also encourage you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We encourage you to attend our worship services. Times will be given at the end of this broadcast, and we want you to know that you'll always be warmly received, and we'd love for you to come and study the Bible with us. Probably no subject is discussed more in the Bible than the subject of saving faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please God." Hebrews 11 has often been called the roll call of the faithful, and there are many examples given therein in of faith and the description, the biblical description of what faith is. I want to talk to you about one of those examples this morning. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 and 31, the Bible says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." You see, Joshua had sent spies into the land to check out the land prior to them going in and taking control. 40 years earlier, Moses had done that and had a very disastrous effect. But this time, they're going to go and they're going to cross into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Well, he sent spies out with them, and Rahab, a harlot of that country, hid the spies from the men who found out that they were in their country and were seeking to do evil to them. She confessed her faith in God, knowing that the land would be given to them by the power of God because they had heard of his exploits in Egypt. And she had a request. And her request in chapter 2, 13 through 18, was that her and her family would be spared. Well, those conditions were given and met, but there were some conditions that God gave in order that that request would be received. A scarlet cord. The scarlet cord were to hang outside of the window. And that during the time of them taking Jericho, all must remain in the house. If they come out, then they would get no protection. The spies returned with the report to Joshua. God had delivered the land into their hands. And so they crossed the Jordan and Joshua chapter 5. And in Joshua chapter 6, God gives the instructions of how to take Jericho. Basically, he told them to march around the walls once a day for 6 days and speak not a word. And then the 7th day, they would march around the walls 7 times. They would shout and they would yell and the walls would come down and they would be able to take Jericho and walk right in. Now, why such a battle plan? Because God wanted to know, as they went into the promised land, had that generation learned anything from wandering in the wilderness for 40 years while their forefathers died? You see, what is the only reason that such a plan would work? The priests blow the trumpet, the people shout with a great shout, and the walls fall down. What is the only reason that plan would work? Because that plan was designed by God. And if they follow God's instructions, then those walls would come down. The only reason that you would follow such a plan is because of who had designed it. And we know that they followed it and the walls came down and they took the city. But what lessons of saving faith can we learn from this story that we read about in Joshua chapter, in the early parts of Joshua, about the taking of Jericho and the harlot Rahab? Well, number one, we can learn that the grace of God is for the worst of sinners. What was the occupation of Rahab? She was a harlot, a woman who sold herself to other men. Same as that with Tamar in Genesis chapter 38, verse 15. Sin is sin to God. In John 8, verse 24, they brought a woman that was caught in adultery, and yet she was told that she had had many husbands, but the one she was with now was not her husband. And she was told to go and sin no more. They weren't really interested in justice because they just brought her. If you commit adultery, there has to be two parties. They were just trying to trap him. Other men told lies. Abraham and Isaac lied about their wives. They said that they were their sisters, and that caused a great deal of problem for them. Remember the problems those lies led to. And all liars will be lost, according to Revelation 21, verse 8. But yet God forgave them because they repented. Did God need Rahab to lie to deliver the land of Jericho into his hands? No. No matter what sin you may have committed, if your willingness to repent and turn from it, God will forgive. Remember Ahab? Even that wicked king Ahab, when he put sackcloth and ashes and showed contrition and showed remorse, God delivered the enemies to his hands, 1 Kings 21, 27 through 29. The grace of God is for the worst of sinners, but the condition is that they must stop the sin. Now, another lesson that we can learn from the account in the book of Joshua is that God's grace is received through faith that works by love. Did God give the terms to Rahab? The scarlet thread. Stay in the house. This is something that they must do. They put the thread in the window and they all stayed in the house while the fight was on for Jericho. And because she followed the conditions, God granted what he said and her family was spared. You see, there's something she had to do. And if we read in Hebrews chapter 11, the men and women given an example there, it says, by faith they did such and such. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham left his homeland. By faith, Abraham believed, even when he was old, that he would have a son. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. They followed the instructions. They met the conditions. And God did exactly what he said. Faith that works, grace received by faith, obedient faith, when that works in love. We also see salvation by grace through faith is not salvation at the point of faith. We are told in chapter 6 and verse 2, that God said the lamb was given to them. Yet they hadn't done anything yet. And yet the lamb was still not in their possession. But God acts like it is already done. Why? Because he knew if they followed his instructions and they did them to the letter, that God was going to give the city of Jericho into their hands. You see, God can speak something as if it has already happened before it does happen. Why? Because he's God. He knows the end of something from the beginning. He knows the heart of man. He knows the decision that man will make. And so he can speak as if a thing has happened before it ever takes place. Another lesson that we can learn is even though God appoints conditions, agents, and means in our salvation, Jesus is still the Savior. Even if we meet all the conditions, and Rahab did, and the children of Israel did, in marching around the walls, in staying in the house, even though we meet the conditions, we don't save ourselves. The difference is, God is the one who saved them. God delivered Jericho in their hand. Does anyone deny that? Even though they followed the conditions and they met the terms, God is the one that spared their life. God is the one that delivered the city into the hands of his people. God is the one that spared Rahab's life and her family. Why? Because he fulfilled what he promised to do when they met the condition. That doesn't mean they earned it. That doesn't mean they merited it. That doesn't mean they obligated God. That means they did their part and God did their part. God's part is grace. Our part is obedient faith. When both are brought together, then the result will always be what God said they would be. Another lesson that we can learn from this account is apostasy is a possibility, not an inevitability. Some think that once you become a child of God, that you could never be lost. Did God lock Rahab in the house with her family? No, they had a choice. If they left, and they could have left, then all the promises would be off the table. True, the outcome would have been much different had they chosen to act differently. Calvinism says, once saved is always saved. Does it mean that we no longer have free choice? No. Even after you obey the gospel, you still have a choice. You can still go back to that which you left. You can still go back and do those things that you did prior to coming to God. God didn't tolerate them then. He's not going to tolerate them now. We will never fall. The only way to make your calling and election sure, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, is to do the things that God has asked you to do. When we are obedient, we didn't save ourselves. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, we are unprofitable servants. What we have done is that which is our duty to do. Apostasy is possible because we still have free will. Man can deny his faith. He can go back into the world. And if he does, there is a consequence of that, and that is that you've transgressed God's will and you have sinned. And according to Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, your sin separates you from God and causes you to be alienated from God. And that is when you're a Christian or before you become a Christian. You can sin, change your mind, and sin will always have the same result. The last lesson that I would like you to consider is that God brought Jericho down. He turned that city around and gave it to his people. He destroyed them. Why? Because God was punishing that city for their sin. They weren't being chosen just to give the city to God's people. All the land that they would be given when they took the land in the book of Joshua, in the land of conquest, was being given to them because God was punishing the evil that the inhabitants of that land had done, and consequences were falling upon them for their disobedience. That's why they were to make no pacts or no covenants with them, because they were being chastised and punished by God. Ladies and gentlemen, the day is coming when God's going to destroy this world. He's not going to destroy it because he hated it. He's going to destroy it because it had done and fulfilled what he created it to do. And that's give us a home here until we can be ushered in into that home with God in the heavens in the after a while. And so there is a time coming, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, when all the elements of the world are going to be dissolved with fervent heat. And at that time there will be a final resurrection. There will be a final judgment. And then we will either be rewarded or punished considering how we fulfilled our duty and our responsibilities here on earth. And the choices that we made, we then will be judged by those choices, and we will receive heaven or we will receive hell according to the types of choices that we made. God's saving faith. It is true that man cannot be saved with faith, but faith alone cannot save him. Please read James 2, 14 through 26. It takes active faith, obedient faith, that follows God and his instruction, that meets his condition. And even when we meet his conditions, we did not earn it. We did not merit it. We're not trying to earn it or merit it. We're just trying to be faithful and obedient out of love for God and to do what he's asked us to do to receive the benefit that he has promised. Saving faith through grace. Without grace, nobody can be saved. But that does not mean that there are not things that God has required of us in order to be recipients of that grace. Saving faith through grace. That's what we see in Jericho. That's what we see in Rahab. And that's the same way that it works in our life. Tune in again next week. Have a wonderful day.